Today we'll look again into the first letter of John, chapter 2. Last time we looked at this text, we focused particularly on how John is continuing to help us understand what it means to have a relationship with God through Yeshua. And the fact that John wants us, through the inspiration of the Spirit, to know for certain that we have this relationship. And he has written in the first part of chapter 2, particularly in verse 6, he says, "He who says he abides in Yeshua ought himself also to walk as he," that is, "as Yeshua walked." And so he's highlighting that our lifestyle will look like Yeshua as we walk in this relationship with him. And now John continues this presentation, this letter, to help us further see and have assurance that we are in this relationship with Yeshua, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 7. "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Father, we thank you that you inspired John to write these words, that you helped him remember, that you helped him hear the voice of your Spirit. And now make these words alive to us. Open our hearts, our minds, open our eyes and our ears, and help us, Father, to enter into the relationship ever more fully with you through Yeshua. Amen. So John begins by talking about not a new commandment, but an old one. What is this commandment that he's talking about? And in verse 8, then he says, "I write a new commandment to you." What is the commandment that he's talking about? And I think we can gather, particularly from verses 9 and 10, the commandment that he's talking about is that we love one another. Love is at the very heart of a relationship with God through Yeshua. The first word in verse 7 helps us begin to know the impact of this love. The word "brethren" is actually not the best word from the best manuscripts. The best manuscripts have "beloved." John is writing to this group of followers of Yeshua, and he calls them "beloved." Beloved is the word that has the root of agape, and that is God's kind of love for us. It is a love that transcends our ability to earn it or deserve it. It is a love that includes the whole of our personality, the whole of God's personality. It is love that has in it the will for the very best, the will to do, to act, to speak, to bring about the very best for the person who is the object of this great love. It is rooted in the character of God himself. Brethren, beloved, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. What does he mean by "from the beginning"? Well, we could go all the way back in time to the very beginning of the creation of everything. In fact, we could go back even further than that. We could go back to see that love is rooted in the very character of God himself. John would write in his gospel in chapter 17 of Yeshua's prayer the night that he would be betrayed, that would begin the process whenever he would give his life for the sins of everyone. John chapter 17, Yeshua prays to the Father, and we get to hear, because the Spirit of God enabled John to remember these glorious words. Listen to verse 5 of chapter 17 of John. Yeshua prays, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." The Father and the Son shared glory together before the world was ever created. In verse 11, we read this. Yeshua prays, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." And so Yeshua is praying that the relationship of the followers of his followers would be the same kind of relationship that he and the Father have had throughout all eternity. And then we get into the very heart of it in verse 20, as Yeshua prays this, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." This is a glorious, glorious reality, that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have been loving one another throughout all eternity. Yeshua was keenly aware of that love and lived in that love every moment of his life. The command to love is an ancient command, a glorious and good command, rooted in the very character of God himself, that God in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have been loving throughout all eternity. And when a person comes into a relationship with Yeshua, they are invited into that fellowship of love. And then the text that we read every Shabbat speaks of how God had this on his heart from the beginning of his people. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8, again, we read that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then Yeshua, speaking about this command, a Pharisee had come to him, a lawyer, when he had spoken on a particular instance. And this lawyer came to him with a question, and the scripture says that the lawyer was actually testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And what did Yeshua say? The Shema. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then Yeshua made this staggering statement. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Leviticus 19:18 says that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. In Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah, that brokenhearted prophet, speaking to God's people, wanting them to turn to him, and yet over and over the people would turn away from God and from from Jeremiah's message. But on this occasion, in Jeremiah chapter 9, and in verse 23 and 24, Jeremiah says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord." Hesed, loving kindness, steadfast love. That's what the Lord delights in. That is his very character. And that is what he pours into his people. That is what he invites his people into when he invites them into a relationship with himself. So from the very beginning, and even before the beginning, the command has been to love one another. John 3:16, that famous gospel verse that John wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The religious heretics that John was responding to were anxious to focus on knowledge. They were anxious to focus on the latest spiritual fad, if you will. They were anxious to focus on spirit and say that physical realities meant nothing. But John brings us back into reality and says that there is a commandment. It is as old as time itself and older. It is a commandment that God has given us from the beginning. It is a commandment that these people had heard from the beginning of hearing about Yeshua. It is a commandment that they have heard from the beginning of the gospel and from their beginning of a relationship with Yeshua. This is at the very core of a relationship with Yeshua. It's all about love, love for God and love for one another. But it is also, John says, it is also a new commandment. In verse 8 of 1 John chapter 2, he says, "A new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." So what is new about this commandment to love one another? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and see one aspect of the newness of it. Yeshua, speaking to his followers in that glorious Sermon on the Mount, as it is called, comes to the segment at the end of chapter 5 of Matthew. Matthew 5, the end of that chapter. In verse 43, Yeshua says this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you have more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And so a new dimension to this love that God invites us into is not only do we love our neighbors, but we also love our enemies. And this helps us see that this love indeed is a supernatural love. Then again in John chapter 13, Yeshua, speaking to his followers on that last night before he went to his execution, in verse 31 of John 13, he writes this. John writes, "So when he had gone out," that is when Judas had gone out and left, "Yeshua said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so, another new dimension of this love, Yeshua is saying, not only is it for loving our enemies, but Yeshua is saying, I want you to love as I have loved you. Yeshua brings to us the fullest picture and expression of the love of God that we have ever seen. Every moment of every day of his whole life, Yeshua lived in this love and expressed this love. And now he is saying, as I have loved, you love. And again, it's supernatural. It is involved in him loving through us. But it is a certainty that this kind of love will begin to manifest itself in every follower of Yeshua. And then in chapter 15 of this Gospel of John, John further talks about this love. He says in verse 12, Yeshua again speaking of John 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he takes it even a step further and making it very clear, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. At the very heart of this love is the laying down of our life for those that we love. This takes it to a whole new level. Not only loving our enemies, not only loving like Yeshua loved, but loving like Yeshua loved to the point where we lay down our very life. Again, we come back to say, this is a supernatural love. Let's consider this love for a few minutes. Because as we look at this, as we think about it, who among us could say that we love like that? And certainly, John is not out to discourage us and not out to make us all think that we don't follow Yeshua. John is simply saying, and clearly saying, and powerfully saying, that love is at the very heart and character of God, that it is a commandment as old as time itself, as old as the beginning of our walk with the Lord, and it is brand new in that we come to see fresh and new dimensions and fresh clarity in Yeshua about what this love looks like. And so here, let's consider together some insights about this love. In chapter 5 of Romans, Shaul writes about this love. Romans chapter 5, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua Mashiach. We enter a relationship with God by him declaring us righteous, giving us the righteousness of Yeshua, and taking upon himself all of our sin, all of our fallenness. And therefore, we have peace with God. And then in verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand by grace, not by our own ability to earn or deserve this relationship, but by grace, and we enter the relationship by faith, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God has spoken to us and helped us see that his glory, his character is being produced in us, and this gives us hope. Because things are different, and things will be different through all eternity for us in this relationship. And verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that God is at work in these tribulations to produce in us perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And then Shaul writes this, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Ruach HaKodesh who was given to us. The Spirit of God is the one who enables us to love with this kind of love. It is called his fruit. It is not something that you and I work up. It is something you and I trust out. It is something that you and I rely on God himself to produce in us. Yeshua talked about us abiding in him, that he is the true vine, that we are the branches, that he is the sap that gives life. And as we abide in him, as we stay connected to him, stay attached to him, as his life flows through us, we will bear fruit. And it is the fruit of the Spirit, which includes love. Further on in this same letter, in chapter 13, Shaul writes, beginning in verse 8, just before this verse, he has talked about our responsibility to the government, and that we render taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. And then in verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. At the very heart of love, always is the very best for my neighbor. That I would not harm my neighbor, but I would want the very best. I would want what is good, what is beneficial, what will help my neighbor. And our closest neighbor is our brothers and sisters in the family of God. In Galatians chapter 6, Shaul writes about how this love is manifest in our relationship, one way it is manifest. Chapter 6, verse 1. Of Galatians. Shaul writes, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Messiah. Love is not arrogant. Love is humble. Love will continue to help us grow in spiritual maturity. And as we grow in spiritual maturity, whenever we see someone caught in a trespass, our first response will become not to condemn them, not to say how bad they are, but rather, in all humility, to begin to pray for them and look for the opportunity to restore them with a spirit of gentleness, recognizing that by the grace of God, there go I. And also, we are involved in bearing each other's burdens. That what grieves you grieves me. What grieves me grieves you. That I carry the burden with you. And in that blessed insight that the Lord says that we are to cast all our burdens on him. When I come alongside you to bear the burden with you, there comes that moment where I cast that burden on the Lord, and I don't carry it either. But I help you to do the casting as well. That is the spirit of love, to fulfill the law of Messiah. Then in Colossians, Shaul writes even more about this love. Colossians chapter 3. In Shaul's letters, especially to Ephesians and Colossians, there are pictures of eternal reality, the kingdom of God. And there comes a point where Shaul then by the Spirit begins to flesh out what life in the kingdom and in the family looks like. And often he goes through here in Colossians 3, beginning in Ephesians 4, there, Romans chapter 12, there are lists of qualities of our relationship, what love looks like. And we must be very careful to realize that this is not a checklist. This is not something we kind of tick off and say, yes, I'm doing that. Oh, I'm not doing that. Yes, I'm doing it. No, I'm not doing that one. It's not a checklist. It's rather a portrait of the reality of what we really are and what God is bringing us into. And so it's a glorious portrait of by faith, through grace, These are the things that God is producing in our lives. And by faith, we cooperate with what God is doing. So in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, Shaul writes this. He says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Love brings it all together. Shaul says, love ties it all together. All of these things are aspects of love. Love is tender in its mercies. Love is kind and humble. Love is meek and long-suffering. Love bears with one another and forgives one another. And love forgives as Messiah forgives. Love ties it all together. And that is what the Spirit of God is producing in each person's life, each person who belongs to Yeshua. This love, Peter writes about this love as well, and he has two helpful pieces of insight. In his first letter, chapter 1, verse 22 and following, Peter writes about the Spirit living in us and producing this sincere love. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Fervently. This love is not just casual happenstance, light. This love is deliberate, intentional, and is involved in the whole of our being. It is fervent love for one another. And it is rooted in the fact that we belong to God. In verse 23, "having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." We have been born again. We are brand new people in Yeshua. And this brand new nature that we have is a nature that is to be saturated and soaked and manifest by love, fervent love for one another. And then in the fourth chapter of this first letter of Peter, another helpful insight about this love. In verse 8, Peter writes, chapter 4, verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." So, Shaul wrote in Galatians that sometimes we see a trespass in someone else, in one of our brothers or sisters, and our responsibility is to go and help restore them. And sometimes, Peter writes, there is a time when a sin is simply to be covered over by love. We don't highlight it. We pray and we cover it by the love that God has given for us. John writes this old command, this new command to love one another is evidence that we are actually believers, followers of Yeshua. And he says this back in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, "I write this to you, which thing is true in him and in you." This love is so clearly seen in Yeshua. And Yeshua lives in us. And more this love will be seen in us. This tenses of verbs are so important in this letter that John has written. He says, "because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." These are present tense verbs that John uses here, indicating that there's a progression happening, that you and I at this very moment in time don't love as well as we could or should perhaps, but we are on our way and it is certain that God is going to produce this love in us more and more. And it is also certain that this love will triumph. The darkness, the opposite of love, is passing away. It's still around us, and often it looks like it's the dominant winning force in this world. But the reality is that the darkness is in the process of passing away, and the true love, the true light, is already shining. It is shown most clearly in Yeshua, and Yeshua in us is shining this love. It's most clearly seen in love, shining that out in us, and it is shining, and it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter until one day Yeshua returns and sets up his glorious kingdom. And it's going to be the home of righteousness, the home of love, this kind of glorious and pure love. I was thinking about this whole loving one another and how challenging it is. There are many among us who come from broken situations, and we can misunderstand love. Now, love, ultimately, I think at the very core of love is a willful intent to bring all the blessing of God into another person's life. I think that encapsulates what love is all about. And to that end, we live in cooperation with God working in us. But that does not mean that there won't be difficulties that will come along. And that does not mean that there should not be boundaries around our life. We are wise in our love as well. The letter of James writes about the wisdom that comes from above. And part of that wisdom that comes from above includes love. And so they're tied together. We love with wisdom and with insight. And I thought of that account of Shaul and Barnabas. Do you remember after the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15? That Shaul said, you know, I think it would be a good idea if we went back to the congregations that we established through the power of the Spirit of God and see how they are. And Barnabas said, I think that's a good idea too. Let's take John Mark with us. And Shaul said, I don't think that's a good idea to take John Mark. And Barnabas said, I think it's a good idea to take him. And Shaul said, I don't think it's a good idea to take him. And they were butting heads together. And the end result was that Shaul took off with Silas and Barnabas took off with John Mark. And they split ways. Sometimes in the family of God, we split ways. But they never had an ill intent about each other. They still loved each other. And one of the ways I know they loved each other was because at the end of Shaul's life, in the second letter to Timothy, in chapter 4, do you know what he says? He says, get John Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me. Something had happened in John Mark's life related to Barnabas hanging out with him, that his life had been turned around, that he had become a faithful and reliable young man and a follower of Yeshua. And Shaul had no hard feelings against him or against Barnabas. Barnabas had been the key one to bring Shaul into the fellowship of the family of God and had borne witness for him, been strategic. But there are just times when sometimes we have a difference of opinion. And that's okay. It's okay to have a difference of opinion. We can disagree without being disagreeable, right? We can disagree and respect and love one another while we choose to go different ways and bless each other in the name of the Lord. There are going to be people, Shaul said in Romans 12, that as long as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. There are going to be some people further along in love than I am and not so far along in love as I am. And from time to time, there's going to be people that I may not just get along with. But still, we love one another, and as far as it depends on me, my responsibility is to love that person as best as I can through the help of the Spirit by faith. And so John says to us, this is the new command. This is the old command. This is the true light that is shining. This is a key to understanding if you and I are in Yeshua. Because he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. To not love is to walk in blindness, to walk in darkness, to refuse the impulses of the Spirit of God in us. But to walk in love, to belong to Yeshua, to be in this relationship, means that we will be abiding in the light, that we will be more and more walking in love, that we will have discernment and wisdom to know how that love will be fleshed out, and that God will be enabling that love in us. And as a result, there will be no stumbling in Him. And I think that has two aspects to it. One, we won't be a stumbling block. And two, we won't stumble through life being confused, not knowing what's going on. But rather, living in love, we will not be a stumbling block. We will be an encouragement and a stepping stone to blessing. And we will also know where we're headed, to the eternal kingdom, to Yeshua, who Himself is love incarnate. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that You are love, and that You have invited us into Your kingdom, and that through Yeshua, You are producing Your glorious, strong, rich, and full love in us. And Father, we together pray that in the ways that we have failed to love, forgive us. As we read in the first chapter of John, if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then thank You, Father, that we can pick up and go again and over experience ever more deeply Your love for us, in us, and through us. Fill us with Your Spirit, Father. And in asking that, we know that You will fill us with Your love. Make us more and more a congregation that is known by our love for one another. And therefore, that we are declaring that we are in the light, and that You, Yeshua, have come, and that indeed You are the Messiah. We pray in Your strong, wonderful name. Amen.